A few months ago, public television stations were asked if they would like to participate in an experiment allowing them to run a limited number of commercials during the broadcast day. The experiment is the creation of the Temporary Commission on Alternative Financing for Public Telecommunications. This commission was created by Congress last year, who gave it the task of identifying new funding options for public broadcasting. This experiment is very controversial amongst public broadcasting professionals and public broadcasting viewers. Of the stations who applied, 10 were chosen. One of the 10 is WHYY Channel 12, WUHY's television affiliate. Since we know many of our listeners are Channel 12 viewers, we asked Jim Carrion to discuss with us Channel 12's participation in the experiment and what it will mean for viewers of Channel 12. Jim Carrion is the president and general manager of WHYY Incorporated, which includes WHYY Channel 12 and WUHY Radio. To clarify, the commercial experiment is for television stations only. We know you probably have a lot of questions about this experiment, so we'll be opening up the phones in just a few minutes for your questions. Before we open the phones, could you welcome to Fresh Air, Jim Carrion.
Thank you.
And could you tell us what this experiment is going to mean and why Channel 12 decided to participate in it?
Yes. In the Broadcasting Act of 1981, the Congress proposed, as you said, this temporary commission to see if there were other ways to finance public broadcasting, both radio and television. And one part of it was to do an experiment to see over 18 months whether or not 10 radio and 10 television stations could experiment in it, see that what it would do, see if it would bring in real revenue, see if it would not break the bond that radio and television stations have, public radio and television stations have with their publics and all of that, and continue to keep the character and integrity of public radio and public television. There was a process of applications to the commission and so on and so forth. And as you said, it was quite controversial as to whether it would work or not. And a group of television stations, at least, and some joint licensees, us being one of them, did ask the commission finally to allow us to at least do the experiment. There had been a idea and some feeling on the parts of some of our national leaders that we should do the experiment on paper. My feeling on that when I testified was you can't do experiments on paper. Experiments can only be done if they are done. I think it was very important to do it. One, I think it was important because Congress gave us this opportunity. I think if we did not take it and try as hard as we could to see if it would work or not, they would not again give us a chance or an opportunity to conduct such an experiment. The other thing is that obviously, all of us are at a place right now where we have to find alternative sources of funding. It doesn't mean that it's a substitute for the contributions we get from the public. I think we all cherish and we all understand our role as public broadcasters. But we know that with federal grants becoming less, we know with the costs becoming higher, we have to have other kind of funding than just the public contribution, which at times is quixotic, at times it's unpredictable, and that even though our audience continue growing and our support keeps growing. The second part of that commission, Terry, and I think the people should know, is that by June of this year, the commission is supposed to come up with a document for Congress on other ways that we might finance ourselves. And that is very interesting because it's the first time ever since the first Public Broadcasting Act was signed in 67 that Congress has ever asked us how we would like to be funded. Because it's been one of those questions that was never asked or it was never really addressed. In the original Carnegie Commission report, the Carnegie One, which was sort of the Bible to all of this when the federal government got into public broadcasting and so on, the recommendation of the Carnegie Commission was that there be a tax on the sale of sets in America and that would be distributed to public broadcasting. And there were no public radio stations at that time or no network of public radio stations. The Johnson administration just didn't want to contend with that. They thought that if they got the federal funding going in the beginning, it would be better and that a year later, public broadcasting would come back with an idea of how to fund itself. It never has, really. So we have an opportunity through the commission to look at ideas like taxing on the use of sets, a tax as they do in Great Britain. I mean, on the tax on the use of sets, which is in Great Britain, or, as Carnegie once said, a tax on the sale of sets. I think if there was a tax on the sale of sets in this country alone, just on the sale of them one time, I think a penny, a dollar for every $100 a set cost on television sets, it would bring in something like $600 million a year. It's phenomenal. I didn't know that many new sets were being bought each year, but they are. The commission is looking at things like a national lottery. They're looking at things like the possible taxation tax on the accumulated gross profits of commercial radio or commercial television, also a possible taxation on the advertising revenue of radio and television, of commercial radio and television. There is also an idea for checkoff on income tax and all of that. None of this will all go back to Congress. It doesn't mean, and people shouldn't think out there, my God, they've got all these opportunities to collect all this money. It doesn't mean that Congress would ever agree to it or anything like that. With the advertising experiment, it's 18 months in duration. They did pick 10 television stations, as you said, and we are one of them. It was agreed there would no, at this time at least, there would be no public radio stations selected, though there were four of the television stations who are joint licensees. That to the public means that they are corporations that own or control both radio and public radio and television stations. We filed as a joint licensee, for instance. But at the time, for the time being at least, the commission did not deal with radio. So it does deal just with television. And what we are supposed to do is in this next – well, actually, almost 6 months has gone by so far. They're trying to get an extension of this so the experiment at least has a decent time to be tried – is to see if with some limit, very limited advertising, we can find if it's feasible and, as I say, a whole set of things we have to look at.
Well, before we open up the phones, can you describe what the structure is and what the regulations are surrounding the experiment? How many commercials will there be on Channel 12? How will it affect what we see when we turn on Channel 12?
Well, we have, as the other 10, have not totally laid out. Every station has a right or had a right to submit their proposal and do different things. For instance, Channel 13 in New York and the Pittsburgh station are talking about underwriting enrichment. I don't know quite what that is. It sounds like being slightly pregnant, but that's what they're talking about. Binghamton, New York has an interesting idea. They're not going to do commercials. They're going to do public service announcements like for art museums and colleges and that, and in turn, they will get products from them, and they'll use those products as premiums to get new members for the stations. It's a very convoluted thing, but it's something like that. So each station is putting in their own. Congress only said put down certain mandates. One, that we could run no commercials no more than 2 minutes every half hour if we chose to. That we could not run commercials in the middle of any program. So you won't have that unless the program is over 2 hours in length. That there would be no sponsorship. It can't be like General Motors brings you and there'll be commercials in that like you see on commercial television or anything like that. It did not say they have to be in clusters, but no doubt there will be. All the questions of the frequency, in other words, how often they'll be on, how many, what days, if every day, what kind will be taken, in other words, will they all be institutional commercials or will they actually be product commercials? The length of the commercials, whether they be one-minute commercials or 30-second, all of that has to be determined by the 10 of us together and also by each individual participant themselves.
So that's still yet to be determined?
That's still to be determined, yeah.
Let's open up the phones. I'm sure our listeners have a lot of questions about this experiment and how it will work. Our number, if you have any questions, is 923-2774, and our phones are now open. We're at area code 215. And the number is 923-2774. With me is Jim Carrion, who's the president and general manager of WHYY. And we're discussing the participation of Channel 12 in this experiment to try commercials on public television. There are 9 other stations participating in this experiment. If you have any questions about what it's going to mean, you can call us at 923-2774. How are you going to evaluate its success for Channel 12?
Well, we have a whole system, as we did in making our proposal to the commission, and that was a whole series of research that would go on. In proposing, each station had to show that they had done a survey both of the advertising market in their community, of institutions in their community, of underwriters, which we have now, and of the general public. I mean, I can't stress enough that nobody – this is an experiment. And, you know, I think we're very lucky to have it in Philadelphia because it's an interesting market, far different than Chicago or New York, which are very strange and isolated. But this is – as it is in so many ways, it's the fourth largest broadcast market in America, and yet it is very much a hometown type of thing, and so it's an interesting place to do the experiment. But I think that we're all aware, we're all dedicated broadcasters, and all of those who wanted to come into this, we know the sensitive relationship between that we've built over a quarter of a century with our publics. We respect and cherish, as I said, our role as alternative public broadcasters, and we know what that is. We know it's an experiment. We know that any misjudgments or misactions, if I can use the word, on our part will hurt not only ourselves but all the rest of the system, and we don't intend to do that.
923-2774 is our phone number if you have any questions. Do you think that this might obscure the difference between commercial and public media?
No. Not unless, as not unless we get greedy, frankly, and don't use restraint and don't use good judgment. And I think if that happened, I would be opposed to it myself. When I remember 10 years ago, when we started, in order to get national programming dollars, we started doing underwriters, as you have even with Masterpiece Theater, that this is brought to you by a grant from Mobile Oil Company, and a lot of people in our system felt that that would destroy us. It was a form of commercialization in that it hasn't done a thing to us.
What do you think the financial future of public television is?
Well, it looks bleak at the present time. I mean, a lot of people and peers of ours have said that. Certainly, there is if the legislation goes through, there's going to be gigantic cuts in the federal money. I happen to be a supreme optimist. I'm usually a cynic, but I think we cynics are disappointed optimists. But I believe for the first time in a quarter of a century, the public is getting the message that they're really going to have to pay for it. And they really have to pay so little for it, either in radio or television. And as you know, Channel 12 is going through a fundraiser right now, and we're getting monies like we have never gotten before. And I know that just a few months ago when we did one at UHY-FM, we got very high funds.
Okay, well, let's take our first phone call. There are a number of open lines. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Jim Carrion, the president and general manager of WHYY, any questions about this participation in the commercial experiment, you can call us at area code 215. The number is 923-2774. Hello, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello. I have a comment, more or less. If I heard correctly, a program that would last 2 hours in length could be interrupted by these commercials, and I think that would make me very unhappy.
The Congress only said that it could be done. It doesn't mean that any of us would do it. I have, for instance, a great doubt that we would do it at Channel 12, for instance, if an opera is on or something like that, that we would break in to do a commercial. I do think that's getting very close into what a commercial station is. I think if we can, we would only do them at the start and at the conclusion of full broadcast. All they said is you can do no more than 2 minutes every 30 minutes, and you cannot cut into a program unless that program runs over 2 hours. We don't have that many programs that run over 2 hours except for some operas.
Mm-hmm. I'm also rather concerned that people will feel that their responsibility is gone to support public television.
No, I hope if we do a good job of informing our publics, our audiences, our own system, and that won't happen. It's just the reality of what the costs are. For instance, if the cuts take place that the current administration is asking for in the federal money, for instance, in this station alone, we could lose as much as $330,000 next year in our community service grants, which is the way the money is given to individual stations in the country. And that has to be made up. A lot of that will be made up by the public, not all of it.
Well, what I'm concerned about is that people seeing that business is supporting, television, public television, that they will feel they no longer have a responsibility to join or have these memberships. I think that's going to take harder work to convince the public that they do have a responsibility if they want that kind of television.
Well, I think they do, and as I say, why I'm optimistic at this moment is that we have, for instance, Channel 12 just reached in January a cum, which we call in our business a 50. We broke 50. There's been only about 8 or 10 public television stations in the history to ever do that. That means we're reaching one out of every two households in the Delaware Valley, but we still only have about one out of every 10 viewer who watches us regularly paying dues, and the dues are very little, or their memberships. We can bring that up. We're doing that. But whether that all is done, I think all public television stations have to find other kinds of funding.
Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. If you have any questions about Channel 12's participation in this experiment in trying commercials on public TV, you can give us a call at 923-2774 at area code 215. It's 923-2774. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Martin Solish, and I'm calling you long distance from Pomona, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should do the commercials at the beginning and end of every program, because I think that some of the attitudes that I think I've heard implied on public TV and public radio indicate that PBS, at least WHUY and WHYY, are more oriented toward commercial thinking than public thinking. Like, for example, I have to dial a long-distance number to get in touch with you now, you see. But when you want money, you provide an 800 number, a toll-free number. So my question is, are you interested really in the public response?
No, I think that's
not. Why not make it easier for the public to respond to you?
Well,
another question is, I have two more questions, okay? One is, how are the people who solicit the contributions as is happening right now on Value Nights on WHYY, how are these people compensated? And what kinds of salaries and what kinds of perks are enjoyed by our corporate executives over at UHY and WHYY? Those are the kinds of questions that I would like to have answered before I make another contribution to public radio.
I should mention to our callers that we are trying to keep this phone in strictly on the subject of the commercial experiment.
Yeah, well, I think, frankly, it ought to go commercial because I think your attitudes are more oriented that way than toward the public. I think, as a matter of fact, you're not really serving the public interest, but rather your own.
Well, I couldn't obviously disagree with you more, but I think if you look at our programming now and look at the audiences we're reaching both on radio and television, that just isn't true. For instance, if we wanted to get more commercial, quote unquote, we would change all of our programming. We do programming which we feel is not being gotten in any other kind of medium, and I think we do that. It's indicated by, again, the enormous increases in ratings, and not only by the number of people, but the kind of people. We're reaching all elements of the public now. At one time, we used to be called elitists. We can't be called that anymore.
Well,
thank you for your phone call. We do want to get to as many calls as possible.
See, this is what I mean, Terry.
What?
Now cutting me off because you don't like what I'm saying.
Listen, I don't think that's fair, to tell you the truth.
Well, I know you don't think it's fair. Just as a long time ago when you had a question program,
uh-huh.
I called up and said, I like Steve Brooks very much. I really like the guy. I like his program. I used to listen to him every morning. But I asked you a question, like, why doesn't he play more of a variety of classical music, you know? And you asked me what I meant, and I said, well, maybe toss in something a little perky now and then. And you said, well, you know, if that's what you need to wake you up in the morning. See, that's what I mean.
Well, I don't think I can speak for Terry Gross, and I'm sure she wasn't being flip with you. We change programs to reach and serve as many of our publics as possible. And you certainly get as fine classical music, I think, on UHY as you're going to get any place in the city. And we could change that easily and get a much higher audience with other kind of programming, but we don't.
Thanks so much for your phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air. And if anyone else has any questions, our number is 923-2774. And we're asking you to keep your questions to the subject of the commercial experiment on public television. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Terry. It's Adele. I have a question for Jim. I would like to ask him if the quality of the programming will be dictated by the companies who are paying for the commercials.
Well, it certainly will not unless we lose our own restraint and, as I say, our sound judgment, no more than in taking national underwriting as we have for programming. We've allowed that to dictate it. I don't think it will, no. I would be opposed to it. Anybody, I think, working in this system would be. We know what we're in this for. To answer you or the gentleman before, the perks we get and the salaries we get are not the least bit commensurate with our colleagues in commercial broadcasting.
Oh, I'm sure of that. But
no, I don't think it will. No, it will not.
I would hope not.
It will not.
I mean, if there are 10 stations who have to decide upon this, suppose, you know, that there's some discrepancy between each of you as to how...
No, each station will make its own rules and its own guidelines and that on how they're going to conduct their experiment and what they're going to take and so on.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm interested in finding out what your demographics are. That, like, everybody has the Nielsen's and some of these other, I guess, Arbitron ratings and things like that. Does UHY really know who they are reaching?
WHY, why I'm speaking now for the television, which is what I guess your question is
right.
Related to, is part of both Arbitron and Nielsen ratings. At one time in this country, Nielsen or Arbitron did not rate any show that was not sponsored. That included on a commercial network even. They have for a number of years now been putting all programming. So we know from them how many, what audience we reach, where we reach it. We know something about their age groups, their economic groups, their backgrounds, and we do an awful lot of research ourselves.
Okay. Another thing that I would like to find out is...
Is this about the commercial experiment?
Yes.
Okay.
About who decides what kind of commercial actually goes on. I've seen the logos and a short, like, maybe two-sentence phrase that states, like, somebody is into, like, chemicals and fuels and things like that. Who is actually going to decide what the commercials, what form they're going to take?
Well, that's going to be done by the management here, and staff people will have experts in that. And, again, as I say, we're coming down on the side of restraint and sound judgments. One of the things I'm very strong about, and everybody is, that any commercial endorsement will bring forth any questions of falsehood or distortion or confusion to our publics. One of the questions we get from a lot of people, are we going to do products or are we only going to take institutional commercials? That has not been decided yet. If we do take products, are we going to take one product over another product? That has not been decided yet. I think, as I say, we will always come down on the side of good taste and good judgment. One of the attractions we have to any advertiser is the audience we have. If we lose faith with that audience or lose that audience and the special quality of our audience, we're not going to be able to have an advertising rate in pure good business sense. We're going to kill ourselves before it's even over.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 923-2774 or 2775 is our number. I think we might be having some trouble with the 2774 line, so why don't you try us at 923-2775. My guest is Jim Carrion, the president and general manager of WHYY, and we're talking about Channel 12's participation in the experiment to try commercials on public television. And you can call us if you have any questions. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I... I tend to agree with the man who called from New Jersey a few minutes ago. It seems to me Channel 12 has become increasingly committed to commercial or fundraising concerns, and I am really concerned. I don't object to 2 minutes, a half hour, and I assume that commercials would be tasteful, more tasteful than commercial television. I don't object to that. except that I really am concerned that programs of 2 hours or less will be interrupted in the future, because I base that on the fact that the fundraising appeals never interrupted programs until about a year and a half ago, something like that. Now they do interrupt programs. They go on at length in the middle of programs. And I tried to watch Julia the other night, and it was interrupted repeatedly at length. So that, and I think all of us who watch Channel 12 know you need money. And quite frankly, I had given much more than the minimum for a number of years, and I quit when you started interrupting programs, because I really object to that.
Well, ma'am, we have to really do that. And our chief source of reaching the public is not renewals through the mail or anything. It is on the air pledging. And it is not more than it was. And we have not changed any policy, nor no station I know in the country has in the last few years. We always, during those three fundraising periods each year, and there are only three, I want to remind you of something. Public television stations have some flexibility in this, but I think last survey showed that the one that does more fundraising than anyone spent, I think, 290 hours a year, something like that, in fundraising. And the lowest commercial station, whether it be a network affiliate or just an independent station, was doing something like 1,280 hours a year. I mean, there is no comparison. It may seem like during those times that we do a lot of fundraising. It has not increased. And we try to, and every night we do a fundraiser, we always ask people if they would like to raise all the money right there at the top of the evening. We will cut off all the fundraising. We even tried in our December fundraiser an experiment during the movie Gigi that we raised. We said if people wanted to give all the money, we would run it without any breaks. We would run it in uninterrupted. There were supposed to be four breaks. People gave enough money in two calls, one before and one during, that we only broke in once. So it really is up to you.
Right. Well, it doesn't help the people who have already given. And I really do disagree with you that you aren't doing more, maybe not more minutes per se, but you did not interrupt shows until I would say a year and a half, 2 years ago. I don't know. I can't give you the date. But I have watched too much of Channel 12 to not have realized that. I mean, it really hit me like a brick bat the first time I saw it. I thought, my gosh, now, you know, this is bad enough because your fundraising is really, I don't care for it, which you can't help. It just seems kind of shrill, and I think all of us are bright enough that we have the message. And and I know you have to keep reminding us.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fine. I understand that. But really, when you start interrupting programs, that is when you lost me as one of your contributors. And I really miss getting that monthly magazine, not as much for Channel 12 as for the radio, because you can't pick up things that are on radio from
the
newspapers.
Let's give Jim Carrion the chance to respond to your call.
Yeah,
let
me say one thing about that. If people would, I told earlier that 1.2 million households, this isn't individuals, this is households, and we are most happy to accept more than one membership from any household. But there's 1.2 million households in the Delaware Valley are listening to us regularly. If one quarter of those households would pay their $25 a year dues, just one quarter, we would have $7.5 million right now. Now, if they did that, we would be ecstatic. If one half of those people who watch us regularly paid $25 a year, it would be $15 million and so on. So we have to do a lot to get, you say people understand the need for the money, but they have to be reminded they're going to have to pay for the system. That's all there is to it.
Thanks for your call. We'll take another call. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I hope that I'm on the subject, as you've been stressing, because I came in a little bit in the middle of this. But I would like to at least say that I agree with the last woman who was on the phone that it is offensive. And I'm just make sure I'm on the subject. Let's see. I'm correct in recalling that Carl Sagan was on the television station we're referring to, right?
Yes, he was on PBS and the series Cosmos,
right.
Yes.
All right, that's the subject we're talking about, right?
What we're talking about is the experiment to try commercial
right,
on
okay.
public television. So if your question is germane to that subject.
Right, and that's Channel 12 on the TV, right?
That's right.
Okay. I sort of feel that when I was watching that and they were taking funds or donations, whatever you call it, it just seemed to me that the money was trickling in and trickling in, and then someone came up with, you know, thousands of dollars in a single donation for Carl Sagan. Now, I think that Carl Sagan might be an expensive show to put on, and I think that Carl Sagan might be bordering on commercial as the type of show it is, you know what I mean? I mean, I think that it should be on commercial TV. I think Carl Sagan should be on commercial TV. And I think that maybe what I used to see years ago on Channel 12 were things that were less expensive and easier to fund. And I think that maybe that's really part of what my image of public TV should be.
Well,
also, and I think that if you have to put on more expensive shows, I think you should go commercial, because somehow the commercials on TV really are offering people a service, and I think it sort of shares the expense a little bit better.
Yeah, the series Cosmos cost over $8 million to produce, and there are three commercial networks in this country. There are many groups, syndicates of stations. Nobody ever produced a series on that subject. It was one of the highest rated series ever on public broadcasting and vitally needed, I think. And I don't, it was a very expensive series, but it certainly, I think, it showed that it was needed by the country. People responded to it, they wanted it, and they were not getting it any other place.
Thanks for your call. If you're just joining us, my guest is Jim Carrion, who's the president and general manager of WHYY, and we're talking about Channel 12's participation in this experiment to try a limited number of commercials within public television as an alternate source of fundraising. And if your question is on that subject, hi, this is Fresh Air, you're on the air.
Hello, I guess you're aware, I'm sure you are, there was an article in Focus magazine which came out today concerning commercials on Channel 12, and there are two quotes in it that I think are matters of particular concern to me. One is the manager of corporate contributions at Sun Company, who says, if Channel 12 becomes more commercial, then so will we. If Channel 12 is getting more for my dollars, then I want more, for my dollars. And he says that he wants more recognition of his product as a result of that sponsorship. So I think there's a change of emphasis in the kind of commercials that would be offered. The other quote comes from an advertising agency principal who says, whether you like it or not, public TV with commercials is not public TV. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
Yes, well, I know the article. Obviously, I don't miss articles that have my picture on the cover. But the Sun Company gentleman is new to their donations to public broadcasting, and I agree that they want more recognition, but more recognition is being given to underwriters and has not offended our viewers in any way. If you'll notice, the Federal Communication Commission last year allowed us now to, at the end of it, actually let underwriters use a logo. If you see on Masterpiece Theater, for instance, there is a mobile logo now where there hasn't been, and it even allows you to identify what the product is. The gentleman who said that, who we know served on our advisory council here on our business and industry committee and so on, who said that public broadcasting with commercials is no longer public broadcasting, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think, again, it is the amount. It is the kind. It is how much we do in advance of making our public understand. Even the people who've called in to talk about the fundraising and say that, we always go on every night. I've seen to it since I've been president here to announce exactly how much we want to raise that night, how much we think the public wants us to raise. Because obviously, if we're getting so many more viewers all the time, we must be doing something right. And therefore, we have to tell them how much it costs to run the place. And every night we go on, I say we take, in the next 5 minutes, if we can reach the goal we need tonight, $39,600, $40,300, we will not do one bit of fundraising tonight. It is really the public who can dictate what we do.
Well, that's I suppose that's true from one standpoint, but I, as an individual, can't do anything to put it over. And I find myself very distressed when I watch the fundraising, because to me, you're making a medium which I really enjoy totally unenjoyable for the entire period of the fundraising.
Well, but also, you know, what we give you, and one of the, I mean, it is sort of a give-and-take thing, because also some of the finest programming, some of the best specials that are ever run in the whole year are the ones that are purchased specially during those fundraising times. If you look at this current 16 days in March, we, as Channel 12 and also what the network has done, has purchased a lot of programming that we would never have on otherwise. So even though you have to go and listen to some of the pitches, you also are getting some programming you never get otherwise.
Oh, I suppose that's true. One thing that...
Sir, can you keep it brief, because we're running out of time?
Well, okay, just one thought. The Philadelphia Orchestra recently ran a fundraising campaign over another Philadelphia radio station and raised quite a sum of money without, in my opinion, becoming quite as annoying as the pitches in the present fundraising. I just wish that something could be learned from that.
Well, they patterned their auction, their marathon, after our auctions, which we have been doing for 10 years, and they have been doing their marathons for 4. I agree with you. They do a very nice job.
Thanks so much for your call. Bye-bye. That's all the calls we'll have time for. If you still have a comment but you didn't get a chance to call in, you can write as well. And the address to write to would be WHYY, 150 North 6th Street, Philadelphia, 19106. Jim Carrion, when will these commercials that have been discussed this afternoon be starting?
On Channel 12, I doubt if we will begin until midsummer, when everything is in line, when we have all of our rates, when we have all the frequency and all of that done, and know that we're going to do as much as we can to not make them offensive, not to offend our audiences, not to offend the people who've been very good to us. We will do them, and not before. But I think it'll be mid-September, some summer.
Okay, I want to thank you for explaining how it's going to work, and I want to thank our listeners who called with their questions and comments. I've been speaking with Jim Carrion, who's the president and general manager of WHYY, and we've been talking about Channel 12's participation in this experiment to try a limited number of commercials on public television as an alternate way, or an additional way, I should say, to raise funds. And this is happening at the time when federal funding for public media is being cut back. Thanks to everybody who called, and thanks again to you, Jim Carrion, for talking with us.